pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Live soccer is back in the United States. Well, it's at least 95 to 97% real.
Yeah, fans might be FIFA-ized. We're not really sure about the stateside, but that's how it is at least overseas.
Will the sucky teams have a laugh track? We don't know. It's to be determined. Speaking of overseas, even more domestic and cup action. Italy, Spain, England in full swing again. We've got all the highlights of that. Also, you don't know Jack about Aston Villa. We're going to take a look at the transfer window. And oh, by the way, swim, Forrest, swim. We're talking manatees.
Captain Seacow.
Brody Scott and I are standing in the tunnel. We've got our shin guards on. Our balls have been scrubbed. We're ready to go. This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I think I owe everybody out there an apology this week on the podcast, because last week I had featured a couple of properties that were for sale. There was a condo that was for sale in Midtown, and there was also I was talking about a new house that was going to be going on the market in Bartlett. I'm sorry, the house in Bartlett sold in 6 hours, and the condo sold as well. So running low on inventory on that. So sorry about that, but I do have a great house out in Arlington right now. It's got 5 bedrooms, 3 baths. It's out in Wilson's Crossing. It has a neighborhood pool within a short walking distance, so you get to enjoy the pool without having to work on it yourself. It's a beautiful thing. Great Arlington schools. You can go to timvanhorn.com and find out about that as well. But if you're thinking, you know, Tim, it sounds like you can get those houses and condos moved pretty quickly. That is something I take pride in, getting you a great price, getting you good bank on that, and getting you moved on to where you want to go. And if you're looking for a house, I can help you with that as well with a customized search. You can go to timvanhorn.com. You can also call me. I'm with Cry Like Realtors, 901-756-8900. Or just pick up my cell, call 901-262-5000. That's 901-262-5000. Around the block or around the world, I've got agents that can help you relocate. No place too close, no place too far. That's how we roll at Cry Like Realtors. Again, my number is 901-262-5000. You can go online and check it out too and see a picture of my beautiful family at timvanhorn.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
It looks like team sports are finally back in the United States. Yes. And leave it to the women to get it done.
Show us the way. Guide us, those wise ones.
As of right now, this Saturday, it looks like the NWSL will be kicking off their Challenge Cup. It will be coming to us live from the state of Utah.
Yes, they decided that the best way to go about this was to get everybody all together and play in one place as opposed to spreading it around.
Yes, I guess it's a gigantic bubble, basically what it is. Spread out, having the teams train, and then it's all going to kick off this Saturday with North Carolina Courage taking on the Portland Thorns. That will actually be on network on CBS starting at 11:30 a.m. Central time. And again, that's going to be on over-the-air television. Right. The final, which will be on July 26th, will also be on CBS, but there is a way that you can watch all of the matches in between.
Now, we've talked about the CBS All Access on Geek Tank Radio, but finally we get to cross paths again here, Tim, and CBS All Access.
Careful now when you cross streams.
Yeah, well, we could blow everything up with this, but they're doing a free trial just for this, for CBS All Access. So if you don't have CBS All Access, say you're like, I'm not going to pay for that subscription too, good news. You don't have to yet. You know, my recommendation is go ahead with the free trial, use this email, and then once, you know, Star Trek, the next season of Star Trek comes out, you can get your next free trial.
So sign up, because I think it's a 1 month free trial.
Right.
Sign up the day of the first match that you can't watch for free.
Well, you could do it on the 27th, because I think you can get away with it there.
Maybe there are some other matches on that day, but there's a full slate all the way through the next 30 days, again, culminating on July 26th. There are 9 teams in the NWSL. Yeah. They're going to play group stage matches. Each team will have 4 matches to get them set for the knockout stages of the quarters and the semi. So really, 4 matches to knock out 1 team.
This is a really cool tournament. I love this World Cup-style tournament that they kind of figured out. And it's compelling because you can watch it, easily understand it, and then root for your team, whomever that may be.
And it's in a very compact form, right. So you're going to get a chance to see this team play several times, whichever one you may choose, or you may just say, you know what, I just want to watch a good match today. And yeah, that's a good thing about NWSL. There's not a lot of teams, but there's enough depth of talent in the United States that those rosters get filled up with some good players.
They're
so
great.
It should be pretty good. Now, there is a catch. As of the time that we're recording this, we know that Megan Rapinoe is not going to play.
Right.
We also know that Alex Morgan is not going to play.
Right.
We also
got news this morning of an injury.
We also know that Carly Lloyd is not going to play due to an injury.
Right.
And there might be one or two other players that may not be in there. Oh, Kristen Press is not going to be in as well. So we know of 4 at least. There could be additional national team players that do not participate in this.
But that being said, their backups are still playing. And much like a really good play that you see on Broadway,
The understudies are not shabby.
Not too shabby. Yeah. So you're still going to get really great soccer. You're going to get a great product from NWSL in a very compact format. I think this is going to turn a lot of heads, Tim, from people who normally may not watch the NWSL.
I think it's going to be fun. I don't think that it's going to be the players at their best, simply because there's been a layoff. And in all fairness, Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, it has not been the prettiest soccer that we've seen.
We will get into the Premier League and their trials and mistrials, we'll say.
But definitely give it a chance. Now, on the men's side, a couple of weeks later, and apparently they locked some of the best minds in MLS in a room and said, you know what? Come up with a great slogan, a great title for the return of MLS to let everybody know that MLS is back. And you know what? They put it all in the blender, maybe put a little oregano and cilantro in there, and they came out with a doozy.
MLS is back. Wow. Earth shattering. Like, that's one to remember, guys.
Oh, you know, and don't get me started. You know, if they have another regular season this year, if they get down to the final day, do get me started on them calling the last day of the season decision day. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But yeah, MLS is back.
Yeah.
I guess it hashtags very easily. They're going to start that up July 8th from Walt Disney World, I guess Wide World of Sports,
right,
where they'll play. Teams have been dropped into groups for a tournament which ends August 11th. This is what's odd to me. MLS does a lot of weird things. There are 5 groups of 4 and then 1 group of 6. Which means that group, whichever group has 6, some team's going to get screwed out of there.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
That's going to be the hardest group. Hey, guess who's in Group A?
Seattle?
No, Nashville. Nashville's in that group A. Also in Group A, and the 2 teams that will start the tournament, it's the first ever, I guess, Sunshine Derby, enter Miami and Orlando.
Oh, that'd be a really good one, too.
Yeah. So those 2 teams will kick the whole thing off.
So who does Nashville play first? Do we know?
I got to go back and look. I don't have all the deets in front of me.
I don't want this group. Why does Nashville have to get the bad group?
I guess because they're in the East. But
that sucks.
But there's some good news. The reigning champion Seattle Sounders are in Group B because they're in the Western Conference.
Okay.
Atlanta, which you would expect would be a massive rival for Nashville, is not in Group A. They are in Group E.
Huh.
And all the TV is to be...
Well, since they're playing at Disney, that's easy. More than likely ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, same company.
Yeah, so. Dates and times, though, still...
Oh, yeah.
They still have to hash those things out.
I think... They took the NWSL model, like the World Cup model, but hearing that MLS is going to then play a season after this tournament.
Right, and there's some rewards for winning this this tournament for MLS teams. I think there's an additional cash reward, but I believe you also get a CONCACAF Champions League spot for winning this. So there's motivation for fan interest. Motivation for players to come in ready to go on all cylinders. But I look at this, and you've got NWSL coming up with the Challenge Cup.
Right.
Just sounds good.
Right.
It's not original, but it just sounds good. The Challenge Cup. You know what it is. It's going to be a handful of games. It's going to be very competitive. You have
a
tournament. You have Challenge Cup. MLS is back. You don't even know what the hell that means.
I don't know.
MLS is back. You know,
I was excited when they were hiring this person.
20 years ago, when they sang Backstreet's Back, I knew, okay, I got some damn fine pop music coming my way.
MLS is back. All right.
And maybe you get the Backstreet Boys, who are from Orlando.
Oh, the true.
To maybe do a song about MLS.
They could sing the national anthem, and then right afterwards, they could do like the theme song for the MLS is back.
Because what's like the first words of the song? Like, oh my God, we're back again or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
We may have to write a song for that and maybe send that to...
Don't tempt me, Tim. You know I'm going to do this.
I mean, we've gone too long without Nick Carter and the Backstreet Boys. But MLS is back. On a serious note, in MLS, there is now official formation of a Black Players Coalition, which
this is cool.
It's cool because you have players who have gone now. We're into what, maybe the second generation of African American players in the United States, along with most of America, second to third generation players that have now gone through club systems, served and played for the national team. Yep. You're starting to see some coaching, but still, given time, if you look at the numbers, the record of Black coaches and
very
ownership
low.
still very, very low. But then you take out the fact of the players who are not African American, but of African descent from another country, like Thierry Henry and other coaches.
True.
You take just strictly American players that are Black, that number gets even lower.
Right.
So if their goal, and it looks like their goal, is to not only grow the sport for African Americans and Blacks of all countries.
Right.
In and around the pitch, this can be a good thing because you're looking at more opportunities perhaps for coaches and in ownership groups. And the more ideas we have as a country for the United States for soccer, the better. If you open up the pool to those who have been there and done that, and you pull the lever and say, yeah, let's go with this guy.
Think about how much talent is probably just not tapped just because it's just not available or just unaware, you know, that talent exists. I mean, it's mind blowing. And then when you have this kind of coalition to expand and open doors that might not have been open before, you're looking at a really cool and a really good opportunity for American soccer. This is really cool.
I look at the USL.
Mm-hmm.
And I tip my cap because you have Tim Howard, who is an owner.
Yes.
You have Didier Drogba, who is an owner. You have DeMarcus Beasley, who's now going to be participating at a high level in League One.
Yeah.
One of the best wing backs this country has ever had and one of the longest serving. He's a legend. And we're starting to see African-American players and men of African descent continue to have opportunities in that league.
Right.
Now, if it comes up to the first division, that's, I think, when you start to see a bit of a paradigm shift in having those opportunities. And MLS is interesting because it's kind of a single entity, so maybe breaking into that ownership group is going to be a little bit tougher to crack anyway.
Sure.
I mean, you got to either have a ton of money or you have to have an established franchise that's going to open that door and say, you know what, let's bring you
take
the reins as a general manager,
right,
maybe the sporting director, perhaps even in some ownership group for maybe a percentage that would be affordable and workable. But you look at Robin Fraser, who's the manager of Colorado Rapids, and he looks around and it's like, there's not a lot of people that look like me. They're in leadership roles.
Right.
Would love to see that change. Not just for the sake of change, but just for the sake that there's qualified people who are missing some opportunities.
Right.
And deserve some consideration.
Right.
So Black Players Coalition, we follow them on Twitter, and I think you should as well.
Yep.
It's a good thing. Speaking of the USL, and we heap praise on them for their growing diversity and ownership. The USL Owners and the Players Association have come to an agreement on restarting the season.
Yes!
Furthermore, the league hinted that we should see travel and match day protocols as well as a first look at the schedule very, very soon. They're still aiming for a July 11th kickoff.
Right.
And they've been teasing a little bit that there's going to be some interesting matchups. What we believe is going to happen, and until we have official confirmation, I mean, obviously we can't throw out a lot of names specifically and dates, but what we're hearing is that a lot of the travel will be as much as possible confined to 500 miles or less, that there will be specific protocols for riding the bus, specific protocols for arriving and flying if you have to travel by air, but also trying to maintain at least a modicum of regionalism where the schedule may become unbalanced, but you play teams closer to you more frequently through the season.
I am all for this because here's what that's going to do. That fuels rivalries. Once you play a team more than twice, three times, right? You start learning names. You start learning faces. You start learning actions and how they do things, the other teams and their fan bases. So you can kind of start picking on that. Yeah, you know what I mean? You can start rubbing that elbow and nudging them a little bit more. I'm talking about as a fan.
If the Cubs and the Cardinals only played each other twice a year, there would be no hatred.
Right, yeah. So fuel that. And I think this is going to breed that a lot more for, say, Memphis and Birmingham, who they want that to be a rivalry. They want that, right? The league wants that. But when you only see each other twice, why? You know, and I understand that there's a distance, but I hated Nashville more when they were in the USL just because it's Nashville and that hatred from the cities has always been there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I wasn't specifically referring to Memphis and Birmingham. We haven't seen the schedule.
Nobody's given us
a hint.
Right.
But you would think geographically, Birmingham. And then you look to the north to St. Louis.
St. Louis. Right. Exactly. So I'd love to hate on St. Louis. What do you got, an arch?
Come on. Louisville?
Oh, yeah. Let me hate on Louisville. What do you got, a baseball bat? Jerks. It's the wrong sport.
They've been to the finals, though. They're pretty good.
Let me hate on them, Tim.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully that schedule comes out in the next week or so. And, you know, all the best to all the owners in the USL because each team's going to have to come up with a protocol on based upon what's happening with local regulations. How are they going to be able to seat? Are they going to be able to seat anybody? What do you have to do to be able to get into the stadium? Will there be certain times, kind of like boarding on Southwest? Will certain groups get to go in at a certain time?
Yeah.
Then the next group goes in, you know.
Or do you have, you know, this whole thing go TV? In which case, is there a network that's willing to cover a USL?
The Plus.
You know what I'm saying?
I think.
I would think so too, but, you know, again, that's an ink deal that you have to work out.
And while we find a vaccine and while we find something to mitigate coronavirus, can we at least research and find out if drinking alcohol helps mitigate?
I hope so. I've been doing my part, okay? My bloodstream is almost Purell. Almost Purell.
One other bit from the USL, and this is a bit of fun news. Just over the weekend, this past weekend, happy belated Father's Day to everybody, by the way. But over the weekend, just, you know, I'm looking through Twitter, you know, it's, you know, amongst the plague and the civil unrest that's going on. And, you know, some sports trying to get started, others can't get it sorted out. There was a little bit of fun out there. Never met the guy, but I've become a big Forrest Lasso fan over the weekend.
Over in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Of course, he played with Charleston Batteries, played with FC Cincinnati. He played with Nashville last year. Wasn't a big fan of him last year.
right.
You know, in USL, but, you know, he's played with Liam Doyle and Michael Reed, but he's now in Tampa Bay now. And just the tweet just had me laughing. It's not like he said anything just excessively funny.
Right.
But he just got out there, I guess, and shared what was going on. He's in Tampa. He says, came within inches of a manatee today. He could have just stopped right there. That would have been
good.
You know, came within inches of a manatee.
Right.
Absolute surreal experience. Magnificent animals. Little jealous, though. And apparently there were at least four manatees that were out in the water when he was swimming.
Right.
But if you look through his Twitter, just a good egg. He's just a good guy. He has his teammates' backs. He looks like he's having fun. He's got his own website, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Faith Family Football, FUTBOL.com. Faith Family Football.
Oh, you can, that's great.
You can actually get Forrest Lasso t-shirts. He's got a shop.
Oh, yes. We got to get one.
Yeah.
Can we get one and then have it personalized to have Sea Cow put on it? Because that's what a manatee.
Because of the manatees.
Yeah.
But he's got a better website than we do. He's got like navigation, news about apparel, blog, lessons, and connect. So I guess in the off season
this.
He also does he does training as well. So maybe we hop on Southwest in the off season and get some training and work on some of the one touch stuff. But
Captain Sea Cow from now on, Forrest Lasso is Captain Sea Cow.
But if Tampa comes to town, and you're able to go to the game. You know, don't pull for Tampa to win, but pull for Forrest Lasso. He seems like a pretty decent guy. Never met him, but yeah, Captain. Hey, listen. His manatee experience definitely beats the possum experience I had earlier this year. One of my dogs.
Yeah?
I heard a noise. We had pretty much just called it a night. Right. My wife and I were in the bedroom. We start hearing this and this dog noise.
Yeah, right.
And, our dog's just growling. Our border collie captured a possum and started just binding it by the and slinging it. There's possum blood, possum poop on the ceiling, on the lampshade, and that damn thing's not dead.
Oh my God. Well, they play dead, right?
So
those are the ones that play dead?
Yeah, they played themselves. Yeah, nice role playing dead.
Yeah.
I was able to somehow scoop it into a trash bag.
Gross.
And then just take it outside. And let's just say I humanely disposed of it. So I'm very jealous of his wildlife experience. It was much better than having to scrape possum poop off the lampshade and off the ceiling. So Forrest Lasso, we can't wait till you get a chance to come to Memphis. We're pulling for you. We love your website. Maybe we can get some tips from you. But faithfamilyfootball.com for Forrest Lasso. That does it on the domestic side. Let's say we take a break, come back, and do it European style.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so we don't worry about getting sued for using music without permission, and we know for sure that the artists who made it, well, they're getting paid, and that's always a great thing. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines. We used to have to piecemeal all that stuff, and it took hours. Believe me, it took hours. It cost hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts to really get the podcast to you. Well, that's all changed with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive. You're going to scratch your head, and you may even have to scratch your ears when you hear this. It's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E. Podcave.com.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go. Second half, My Three Subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Let's start it off over in Italy. And just by saying this, some of you out there will have Barry Manilow just going in your head. The Coppa Italia.
All right.
Hey, we had the final last week. Napoli taking on Juventus, and it was,
dud.
Yeah, we kind of wish there would have been plenty of matches before this. It was 0-0. They went to kicks from the mark. Napoli won that one 4-2. In fact, Ronaldo didn't even get a chance to take a spot kick.
What is that?
Usually he's the last kicker.
Oh.
So by then it had already been clinched.
Okay. And so they save him for last.
Typically, yeah. Gattuso's men earn a 2021 Europa League berth, and they will participate in the Supercoppa match versus the Serie A champions. So it's kind of like, you know what? They should have taken a page from us and just put La Liga is back. That's what they should have called it. La Liga is back. That should have been the name of the tournament. Instead of Coppa Italia, La Liga is back. La Liga, Serie A is back.
Serie A.
Serie A is back.
Serie A's back. Am I gonna na 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 hey na?
We are on a. Everything reminds us of a song today.
I know.
It's contagious.
We had Backstreet Boys in the first time.
You watched over the weekend Inter and Sampdoria. What was the scoop on that?
Inter should. The scoreline was 2-1, okay, at the end. It was not a 2-1 match.
How so?
Inter destroyed. I mean, it should have been 4-0, except Inter decided with 20 minutes left to play that, well, we're not going to play anymore until they scored.
Well, from what you saw, did they just decide not to play, or did they run out of gas?
No, I don't think it was I don't know. Now that you bring that up, it could have been maybe a little bit of fitness issue, which I don't know. Inter was better all the way around for 60 minutes.
And Romelu Lukaku, of course, picking back up once again.
I mean, right where they left off kind of thing. Once that ball was kicked off, it was go for Inter.
Could you imagine if they would have truly harnessed his abilities at Manchester United?
Oh, man. Just to think what could have been.
Yeah.
You know.
He's been fantastic for Inter. Inter pick up the win. And going into this recording, Juventus has a 1-point edge over Lazio and 6 points over the aforementioned Inter. Milan. Still close, yeah. But looking good for either Juventus or Lazio.
So when it comes down to it, the Coppa Cabana.
Italia. Yeah.
Anyway, that's probably going to be Juventus and whomever.
It's Juventus or Lazio and against Napoli. Yeah.
Napoli.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's going on in Serie A. Let's talk.
A match with really good food.
I bet they have really good food. You know, over there, it's not Italian food. It's just called food.
It's food, yeah, I know.
Be a little redundant. In La Liga, Barcelona held to a goalless draw with Sevilla on Friday. What if you had saved up and you had bucket list? You know what? I'm going to get to go. I know fans were not an issue on this, but
right. Could
you imagine going to a Barca match and it being a goalless draw? And it wasn't against Real.
Right.
And it was against Sevilla.
And like, you're expecting goals. You're expecting just blowout.
If not Messi, at least Messi setting up goal or Griezmann or somebody like that. But
a masterful set piece, you know, just a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah, just something, but no bones thrown to the fans in that match. Atletico Madrid did get a late winner against Real Valladolid. I believe that's right.
I would have butchered it worse.
Real Madrid over the weekend. That was the last game of the weekend against Real Sociedad. They won 2-1. Sergio Ramos and what looked maybe be a handball by Karim Benzema.
That was totally a
handball. Yeah. That was the match winner for Madrid. And
when you put your arm up, that's a hand. Come on, man.
Oftentimes, yeah.
He wasn't shielding himself. That was BS.
You know, and it's funny because Gerard Piqué was opining earlier in the week that officials favor Real Madrid in La Liga. That doesn't hurt his case.
At all. I mean, you saw it in the EPL this weekend, too, where there were guys that were trying to shield themselves. However, the wing comes up in a little bit, and they call it a handball because it was.
Because it was a handball. Barcelona and Real start the week even on points. Barcelona, I think, has a 1 or 2 goal differential, so they would be champions if the league ended today. Atletico Madrid is 13 back, so it is a 2-horse race through to the finale right now. Gareth Bale doesn't seem like he's going to be involved in the run-up for Real Madrid. I think he's just collecting a check, doesn't care, just resting up. He's not going to China. He's not going to MLS anytime soon. No. He's just making bank.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. And the thing was, he was fantastic at Tottenham. He was fantastic. The Champions League final goal he scored a couple of years ago for Real was amazing. But how quickly people fall out of favor, it is absolutely amazing. Let's talk about Bundesliga.
Why not?
Bayern Munich, since we last picked up, Bayern Munich, of course, is clinching the championship for the Bundesliga. They had an easy weekend
over Freiburg.
Yeah. Robert Lewandowski scored a foreign-born record, 32nd and 33rd goals. But what was just as interesting is we could have a U.S. National star in the making who made his debut for the team.
Chris Richards
yep.
over there. First American to play for the team since Landon Donovan. So we've got that going for us. And
now, where did he come from? Now, I know he came from the U.S. Did he come from a club system, or did he come from an MLS?
FC Dallas Academy.
Okay.
So he came from up through that rank and then decided, I guess, that overseas was the way to go. Sure. But Bundesliga picked him up, and he's doing great over there.
FC Dallas creates a lot. Well, not creates. They develop a lot of talent. And I think a lot of the money that they get is from selling on that talent that may or may not ever reach the MLS pitch.
Right.
And sends them over to Europe.
It's working with Chris Richards.
And Paxton Pomacall may be next. He's a young attacking midfielder for FC Dallas. Keep an eye on him. Runners up Borussia Dortmund had a great U.S. moment as well.
Yes.
We've seen his dad play, but now we got to see him get his first start, the son.
Gio Reyna.
Yep, 17 years of age. Got his first start.
Golly.
And he assisted on a goal. Do you want to guess who scored for Borussia Dortmund?
Do we have to?
I mean, do you need to?
You know, if it's not Jadon Sancho, you know it's got to be Erling Haaland. Haaland scored two goals. They blanked RB Leipzig 2-0. Leipzig, which was on top of the Bundesliga at one time, has done a little slip-sliding away.
Could you imagine being 17, though? Like, think back to when you were 17, going on a pitch that big for, I mean, come on. I'd be throwing up all over the place.
I wonder if the empty stands are a saving grace.
Oh,
because
good point.
Because in a lot of club ball, you play in front of friends and family most of the time.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a nice way to ease into things.
Those 17, 16-year-olds, these up-and-comers, you know, Chris Richards over there, 20-something, you know, coming out on a pitch and there's nobody there. It's a practice then. It feels more like a dress rehearsal, if you will.
Except you get paid.
Oh, of course.
Bayern Munich on top, 10 points clear of Borussia Dortmund. Leipzig is 16 back. It's 79 for Munich, 69 for Dortmund, 63 for Leipzig. Borussia Mönchengladbach at 62, Leverkusen at 60. And I want to give this disclaimer, and I want to go back and give the disclaimer that any points total that we give may change drastically between now and the next podcast, because there's soccer every stinking day now.
Which is great.
Which is great, which kind of dates some of our material.
Sorry,
but it's okay.
Not sorry.
Father's Day, of course, I sat around and got some time to watch Liverpool.
Were you not excited for this match?
I was so excited about this, the Liverpool derby.
I carved out like 3 hours of my day. I was like, don't bother me. Daddy's going to be doing this and this only. If I ask for anything, it's going to be a refill of my beverage.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of let down on this one.
God, was I ever.
But it part of it was due to the rust. Part of it was due to these teams are actually pretty tough.
Good, yeah.
They're pretty good, and they're going to go at it anyway in the Liverpool derby. This was at Goodison Park. The funny thing about this whole thing, and we'll talk about the match in just a moment, but you have all of these players that are in a scrum, every corner kick. You got fouls flying left and right. There's contact here, there, everywhere. Guys spitting on the pitch. You've got guys snotting on the pitch.
Right.
But due to social distancing, to go through this ruse of social distancing, Liverpool had to dress in a temporary trailer outside of Goodison Park to serve as their locker room. It's like, let's social distance, but once the game goes on, I guess you
slobber all over.
Because there's a soccer ball within 30 yards of you, you are immune to coronavirus.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either.
Neither club really got on all cylinders. It did get testy at times, but 0-0, which seemed to be a fair result in this one.
Which a lot of matches in the EPL were very testy. A lot of red cards, double yellows, you know, to get that red.
Yeah.
Just pure and simple fact that he was either tired, and so emotions got a little higher, but, you know, a lot of lazy fouls over the weekend.
If we look at the next match that we want to focus on, this is going to be Chelsea and Aston Villa. I think the only thing that gets hacked more than city government websites is probably Aston Villa's midfielder, Jack Grealish. Would that be fair to say?
Yes. I'm sorry. That one got me. That was good.
The most fouled player in the Premier League.
Hands down, most fouled player.
And Aston Villa actually got out to a lead. I mean, they most of the first half, they were absorbing the pressure from Chelsea. I thought Chelsea looked great in the buildup. Their crosses lacked a little something coming in from the wings. Until the second half. But the first half, Aston Villa was able to squeeze something out as a surprise, 1-0 at the half.
Right.
And then As you look at the substitutions for Frank Lampard, you see he has, at least in attacking options, almost an embarrassment of riches, because the substitutions he made helped not only energize them, but actually contributed directly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that cross to the first goal to equalize it to Christian Pulisic, I mean, it was beautiful. Beautiful setup there to across the middle of the goal, bam, Christian Pulisic has nothing other to do, you know, nothing else to do other than put it in the back.
Beautiful finish, and we're going to save money because now we can take him off of a milk carton because we found Christian Pulisic. It's the first time he's played for Chelsea since the beginning of 2020.
True.
He gets in 5 minutes later after being substituted onto the pitch. He scores a goal. Just about 2 minutes later, Olivier Giroud scores.
Man, how fast was that? I mean, I went
up, up, up.
Yep. It was great.
And Chelsea hangs on to win and completes the comeback 2-1 to Aston Villa. Aston Villa stay mired in the relegation battle. Wolves keep up their European aspirations. It was an easy 2-0 win at West Ham. I would say, and we've seen this statistically, that the home club has suffered dearly in this return without the fans. But, I mean, let's not lie. If it would have been packed with 60,000 at West Ham, West Ham is still going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
But Jimenez got the opener. And then Pedro Neto had a neato goal that you should see. The volley that he had probably is still flying in the air and might be a goal of the year contender, but Wolves hanging very tough. There was a match that involved a top and a bottom of the league team combo, and it was actually pretty entertaining. I'm talking about Leicester and Watford, and there's some real talent in there. Regardless of the standings, you can find quality pretty much up and down the Premier League table. And this was actually this match was set up to be a pretty good one, and it turned out to be that way.
Yeah, no, especially when it came to a transfer target, Ben Chilwell, who kind of, I want to say, upped his price tag a little bit, scoring in the 90th. That was until Craig Dawson equalized for Watford in the 93rd minute. Excuse me. You know, again, it was a very, very, really high, fast paced. As soon as that hit 90, it was like, oh, let's play.
Oh, is this for real?
Let's get this done.
We got to get going. Good goalkeeping. There's plenty of high flying action there. Kasper Schmeichel for Leicester. Ben Foster for Watford did a good job. But in the 90th minute, it seemed like the floodgates opened. It ended up being 1-1. Another one that was a draw, and I'm not sure it was quite as exciting to me. It was a little disappointing talking about Spurs and Manchester United.
Yeah, I honestly, Manchester United, I think before the break, this would have been a 3-1 kind of scenario with Manchester United taking on the Spurs, or maybe even 2-1. You know, I'll give you 2-1. It wasn't. It was a 1-1 draw.
And United had to play catch-up, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was they felt like they were playing catch-up from the opening whistle. You know, it just didn't feel like they were on pace. Yeah, from the word jump.
And I'll even chalk it up to rust, because I thought they were playing pretty well before the slowdown.
Yeah.
But when Bergwijn gave the Spurs the early lead, you thought, okay, all right, they're going to have to turn things up. It took them a while. I will say this. I thought Bruno Fernandes, who scored that late penalty, was terrific. But Paul Pogba showed, he came on for about 30 minutes in the match. Yeah. He came on, some of his passing. And if you look at his statistics, he was making, I think of his passes, I think 80% of them were forward passes. So it wasn't like he was dilly-dallying. I thought he was very productive in his 30 minutes. And United showing some promise. But really what they needed more than anything else was 3 points to try to solidify in themselves in the chase for fourth place to get into Champions League.
Because there is no guarantee with what's going to happen with Man City.
Right.
So you have to do everything you can to make yourself better, and Man United did not help themselves.
And as Brody takes a bathroom break, we'll talk about the rough week for Arsenal. He's going to step away.
My God, they're terrible.
After the curb stomping they took at the hands of Manchester City middle of the week, 3 points looked really pretty much for the taking against Brighton and Hove Albion. Pepe got the Gunners out on the front foot. And at that point, I'm thinking, you're probably okay.
I was feeling a little, okay, we can do this. We can do this. It was just a fluke the first time. We were getting the butterflies out of the tummy.
Yeah, then Brighton equalized just a few minutes later. Then they grabbed a match winner in the 95th minute. I think that one, because of an injury to Leno, that one had like 11 minutes of extra time.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Okay, well, first of all, when they put up the thing, they said 8 minutes. Dude, it was a lot longer than 8. I think it was went to like 11 or 13.
Yeah. There was a lot of time burned. Leno, the keeper, was injured in that match. And of course,
it's a brutal injury.
And you got to take into account, too, and we have not discussed this, but just in general terms in the Premier League, they are taking a couple minutes of water break at around the halfway point of each half, which is about 22 and a half minutes in.
Yeah.
And then they add that time on to the end of the half. So we're seeing added time in the first half around 2 to 3 minutes, but then, you know, with all the substitutions going on in the second half, you know, you could be looking at 6, 7, 8 minutes. Right. You can take 5 substitutions, but you can only take 3 substitution breaks. So
right. You
have to, you can make some multiple subs in there, but some added time. We hope Leno is okay. He actually looks like one of a handful of players that really cares.
Yeah.
And has played. I think he's been outstanding for Arsenal this year.
Yes, he's been outstanding. However, the play he got injured on was unnecessary for him to go up that hard.
Tell us about that just a little.
So, I say unnecessary because the play was pretty much past him at that point. Like, for him to make that save would have been ridiculous. Okay? Anyway, he comes down hard on the knee, which, if you look at it from a different angle, it's very yucky. Yeah. It is not. Knees don't go that way. Okay? And so, he's going to be out for a while. And that I think, is the nail in the coffin to Arsenal season.
Arsenal still plenty of games to go, and they still have something to play for. They can still fight for a Europa League spot. Right now they're sitting mid-table, though, but they need a run of form. I don't know where they're going to find it.
Yeah.
But one can hope.
You want me to retort with that? Because I have a retort to that, and I don't think it's going to happen for Arsenal this year. Like, just enjoy the bottom. Is the upper echelon of the bottom.
Is it the manager or what he's been stuck with?
At this point, it's just like this mentality there at Arsenal. It's why give a damn, you know? Because that's really what it feels like when they walk out on the pitch. I really don't want to be here.
And Mesut Ozil is so interesting because you see him doing so many charitable things off the pitch and just doing great things for folks, and then the manager has no interest in playing.
He has no business being on the bench because you're not going to get a second look.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy times at Arsenal. As of this recording, Liverpool are 23 points up on Manchester City at 83-60, Leicester at 54, Chelsea at 54, Manchester United and Wolves are sitting at 46.
Now, Liverpool could clinch the end of the week, right?
Right. There's a combination of not getting a result, maybe drop points
somebody
for Man City, and then Liverpool winning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're edging closer. It's imminent. It just has not happened yet. We're talking transfers coming up next on My Three Subs.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. The Watchers have observed. The council has convened. The gathering of geeks converges, and they're set to discuss everything happening in the geekdom.
Tank, locked, loaded. Get the latest on everything in the geek universe with the Geek Patrol.
The Geek Patrol is on Geek Tank Radio.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We have added time to the podcast.
All right, here you go. 3, 2, go.
We talked about the embarrassment of riches in the attack of Chelsea, and it looks like they may be getting just a little bit more. It'll come with a cost of about $60 million, but they are looking across over into Europe to find another attacker.
Red Bull Leipzig attacker Timo Werner could be calling Chelsea home.
Yep, the signing, when it occurs, it's interesting because the next season is going to be a while down the line.
Right.
The fact that he signs would make him ineligible for Leipzig's current Champions League run set for August.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They'll work something out where he can do that.
You don't think he'll be cup tied?
I don't know. That would suck.
Yeah.
He put in all that work and energy and effort only to say, you can't earn the hardware. Come on. They'll work something out.
Yeah. Well,
I hope so.
That will make for an interesting mix of young talent that Chelsea will have. It'll be interesting to see who would be on the way out because they would have to make room for somebody. But, you know, I've heard N'Golo Kanté may be gone. There could be a couple of others that may be on the way.
Would that be Pulisic's way out?
No, I think he stays. I think he stays because if you look at his goals and assists per 90 minutes, he's among the best of the attacking options there.
Most definitely. But
I know Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham are kind of the golden children for Frank Lampard.
I'm just saying with an Olivier Giroud, I mean, you saw it in the match here. With an Olivier Giroud and a Christian Pulisic, I mean, granted, that's some heavy firepower in the front.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
Do you need both?
I think for Chelsea, I think you do at this point. I think because you've seen Abraham get injured, you saw Pulisic get injured. I think right now, if you can continue to have firepower, that's at least going to help you always be in the Champions League hunt. I think you got to get goals.
Yeah.
Will Bayern Munich make a move for Man City winger Leroy Sané? They have been wanting him now for well over a year, and we have seen a Sané sighting. He was on the bench for Manchester City after that ligament rupture that he had. I think it was either back in August or September. He's only 24 years old, but it's rumored that Pep does not want him coming back next year anyway.
Oh, wow.
So the question is, is Bayern still high on him? Can he pass the physical?
Right.
And how much does he fetch, or does he simply go on a free?
An injury like that, that's pretty detrimental to a career. Especially when you're looking at getting transferred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge risk and possibly not a high reward.
And shelf life is limited as it is at any given moment. So we'll keep an eye on Sané and Manchester City. We talked about Jack Grealish last segment and how good he has looked for Aston Villa in spite of the team sucking, in spite of the team having some bad luck. Jack Grealish has been very much consistent throughout the season. And what impresses me most is, there's a couple things. One, he can take a hit because he's the most fouled player in the Premier League. But secondly, I'm not sure his shin guards are bigger than my thumbnails because I don't even know if he's wearing them because his socks are so low.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point because he goes down at the drop of a hat. He always pulls them down too. So
he's a tough character. Sure. Manchester United, I think, is still keen on him. And if they were to pair him up with Bruno Fernandes, maybe put Pogba in the mix as well, that could be a very potent attack option for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But Manchester United has not lost interest in him throughout this shutdown. In fact, maybe more so if he has a strong run here.
That would leave Aston Villa with nothing.
Well, Aston Villa is doing everything they can to go to the championship anyway.
That's true. I mean, they really want in there.
I mean, it's gotten so bad. I'm waiting for John Terry to pull off the warm-ups as assistant coach and play center back for them.
I got this, guys. Don't worry about it.
We're still around on social media. We are tweeting. We're Instagramming. We're Facebooking. You can catch us at My Three Subs Podcast on Twitter. You can catch us on My Three Subs Podcast on Facebook, My Three Subs Soccer Pod on Instagram. And you can email us with comments, suggestions, and your favorite recipes.
Yeah, sure. I'm always good for one of those. Go to mythreesubspodcast@gmail.com or just find us at mythreesubspodcast.com.
That's exactly right. Soccer today. You know, whenever you listen to this, you have soccer today. So be thankful.
Yes.
If you listen to this on a Thursday, you have soccer today.
Yes.
Friday, soccer today.
There is no off day.
There is no off day. However, we're going to take the rest of the day off. We'll see you later.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey.